everybody, and welcome back to Christmas Clatter. It's great to have you with me wherever you are in the world. Hopefully, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere, a little bit of fall is setting in. We are into the burr months. So we only got a couple of these every other weeks left. And then first week of October, every Wednesday through Christmas. And our very first weekly guest is going to be none other than Jerry D from Totally Rad Christmas. Be joining us for his first appearance on YouTube, probably. He's been on the podcast before, but that's before I did the video part of it. But oh man, so many things to cover. Be looking out for the Christmas puzzle exchange coming up very soon, and that's going to be coming up in October, and that'd be. I'll probably have signups probably around October 1st. Don't hold me to that exactly, but it'll be real close. I've done it a few years now, so everything's like set. I just got to refresh the dates and stuff. So that's not too big of a deal. Any other announcements? I do have my advent calendar. For those that watch the advent calendar that I do here on YouTube exclusively, I do have my advent calendar bought, but I'm not going to tell you what it is quite yet. And also, I had a change of episodes this week. I had one episode planned, then some news happened, and it so happened that I had an episode planned like a month and a half from now that related to the news. So we, rearranged things a little bit, and my guest was so kind to be fluid with me and change that. But before we go too far, we have a partner, a sponsor of Christmas Clatter this year. And sorry about that. You probably hear my dog going crazy upstairs. But anyway, we do have a sponsor. And it is Just the Recipe. And you can see here this Brenda's recipe online for some mac and cheese. How many times have you guys done this? You search something and it's all like disheveled and it's crazy. And it's like, just get to me the directions and get me the ingredients. It's great that there's all kinds of, I don't know. She's got like cheeses here represented and stuff. So it's like, but break it down for me. I just want the ingredients, the recipe. Well, Just the Recipe is an app and it's cross-platform. It's, Apple, Android, iPad, your computer, all that stuff. And what you do is you just paste the URL and this is what you get. You get, the title. You get the ingredients, you get the directions, and none of the other stuff, and it's so cool, so easy to use. On the iPhone, you just have to hit the button, copy, paste. On Android, you can collect your recipes, save your recipes, share your recipes, put them in collections, and all kinds of cool things. And there is a free version, with limits, but there's also a premium subscription. That subscription is $19 for a year. So it's very reasonable. But since they are a partner of Christmas Clatter, if you use promo code ChristmasClatter23, you'll get 30% off the annual plan. So 30% off $19. I did the math last week. It's around 12, 13, 14 bucks, something like that. Maybe less, but it's a great app. And like you said, if you're on your phone and you're at the doctor's office and you find a recipe and you save it, when you go home and get on your tablet, your iPad, or your laptop, or your computer, then it's there too. If you have a friend that also has Just the Recipe, sharing recipes is much easier. With the premium version, you get unlimited saved recipes. You also get a conversion, if you need to convert measurements from metric to, you know, U.S. Imperial. You can also adjust measurements. Say if it needs more butter or less butter, you can do that in the premium and mark that on there and put your comments. You can also add ingredients. Say if something needed bacon added, like most things probably need bacon added, you can put that in there as well. So that's just the recipe. Download it from the App Store, Google Play Store, go to justtherecipe.com and check it out. Give it a test ride on the free version. I've had this app myself for over a year. My wife's had it for a long time. And it's one of those things that we've used well longer than before I even contacted. I'm the one that reached out to them because I love this app so much. And I know it would pair so well with Christmas because the baking cooking season is coming. And to have a app that is so easy to use, so clean to use, just going to make that time better. So check them out. Do us a favor. Go to Just the Recipe, Christmas Clatter 23 for 30% off an annual plan. And like I said, the annual plan is like $19 full price. That's a hard to beat bargain in itself, but they're generous to give 30% off that. So please, please, I encourage you guys to check them out. So it feels kind of weird doing a commercial, but I don't mind it because I've used their, like I said, I've used their app so much and love it. I've told everybody about it already, you know, one-to-one, and just thought this would be a better way to share it. I will have a video coming out here in about a month or so. It's just going to be a pre-recorded YouTube video where I just kind of walk you through on how to use the app. You know, it's not difficult, but I figure that would, be the best thing. But let's get on with today's episode, which, like I said, I had to change plans. This was my original plan right here. A Temu Christmas. Got some stuff from the old Temu for Christmas. That's going to stay in the package this week. I can't even remember what's in there, to be honest with you. But, yeah. That was the plan. And then heard the news that Jimmy Buffett passed away. And that's sad enough, but it just so happened that, I don't know, a week and a half ago, I was talking to Ken and I was like, man, let's do like an album. You know, I wanted to have him on Christmas Clatter again this year. I was like, let's do an album review because we talk music a lot. And I said, let's find an album that's kind of off the beaten path. I had one album in mind. I'll be honest. I was wanting to do the Smash Mouth Christmas album. And he just was like, you know, he was just, he wasn't feeling it. So we were just kind of Googling who has a Christmas album that maybe no one knows that well. So we just were kind of Googling on the phone together and ran across Christmas Island by Jimmy Buffett. And so we planned to do this episode, like I said, probably a week or a week and a half before he passed away. And then once that happened, I texted him that when I, you know, a few hours after I found out, and I was like, can we move that up, be a little bit more timely? And he's like, absolutely. So without any further ado, let's talk with Ken Smith of the North Pole News Dispatch, and let's talk about Jimmy Buffett and Christmas Island. Hey, Ken, how's it going?
It's going good, Todd. Thanks for having me on your show tonight, man. It's going to be fun talking about this album, I do believe.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. I think so, too. Yeah, you weren't feeling the Smash Mouth album, were you?
No, man. No. I'll be honest, man. I don't even know one song from them. And, you know, if I hear something, I may have heard it before, but I definitely couldn't tell you the title of the song. And yeah, this is much better. Just a little bit more my style.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. And maybe I'll find someone to indulge me on the old Smash, Smash Mouth album. But for those that don't know, that we're talking, Jimmy Buffett actually has two Christmas albums, and tonight we are talking about the 1996 Christmas Island is the one we're going to talk about. And it, like I said, it came out in 96. There's 10 songs on there, actually 11 tracks. At the end of the 10th track, there's Jimmy Reed's Visit from St. Nicholas, "'Twas Night Before Christmas," as a kind of like a secret 11th track. And so before we get into the album, Ken, kind of give me your history on with Jimmy Buffett.
Well, I got to see him perform in Nashville actually once. And it just so happened it was whenever Nashville was having a big flood, like the biggest flood they've ever had. His concert was that night, and he went on with his concert. So he's great in concert. Yeah, this album here, after you talked about it, you mentioned it. So I put it on and started listening to it. And we live on a small lake up here in Jamestown, and we have a pontoon boat. So I put that thing on there and started blasting out Christmas music in the middle of the summer. But I tell you what, man, it's Christmas music, but it went great in a lake environment.
Yeah.
I mean, it had the tropical feel with it. You know, because this was his first Christmas album that he came out with, but it was like his 22nd studio album. So he'd had plenty of practice by the time this came out. So it turned out pretty good.
Yeah. Actually, I was really pleasantly surprised by this album. You know, I was born in 77. I think that was the year Margaritaville was released, if I remember right, somewhere around there, you know. And that's really the only way I really knew. I knew Margaritaville and Cheeseburger in Paradise, and that was it.
Yeah.
And I knew that he was an icon, a music icon, with like zero number one hits, very few awards to speak of, very little radio play, but people just loved him. And doing research for this album, sadly, I found it out a little bit too late. I know why. It's just his charisma and his vibe and the storytelling in his songs. There's one song, it's not, what is it? Waiting for Monday or something like that was one of his songs.
No, Come Monday.
Come Monday. Gosh, what a great song.
Oh, man. There's so many good ones. So many good ones.
Yeah, it's like, I listened to that for like the first time I knew of, you know, just a few days ago. And I'm like, holy cow.
Really? You never heard that song before?
If I had, I didn't know. I just never got into Jimmy Buffett that much. I just figured it was Margaritaville and licensing play on the name, you know, to make his money, which is kind of what happened. But, you know, that's kind of selling him short. Yeah, Cheeseburger in Paradise, I knew.
There's so many good ones. Son of a Sailor, and just because most of his stuff was in the 70s when he was just really killing it, and that's my heyday, man, the 70s.
Yeah,
you know, so
I just kind of missed it and stuff, but now I got some research to do and some catching up to do. You know, unfortunately it took this, but I did find out too that Jimmy Buffett was born on Christmas Day, 1946.
He sure was, man. How about that?
Yeah.
You know, it's fitting we talk about him on a Christmas podcast, right?
Right, right, right.
But I do want to say this about him real quick is, you know, there's so many artists over the years that's been just a huge influence on people in our country and everything. You know, there's Elvis and I don't know whoever else, but very few of them can do what Jimmy Buffett did, and that's create a lifestyle. He has a branding about him. And those people, the parrot heads, you know, that's his cult following.
Yeah.
And he was worth over $1 billion with a B. Isn't that crazy?
That's
for
wild.
him never to have a number one hit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, I think that's wild. In fact, I'm a officer in our labor union, and we have our state convention coming up in the middle of Missouri next to the Lake of Ozarks. and it's being held at a Margaritaville, you know.
Is it really?
Okay. Yeah, resort. And so it's like, yeah, he snagged, and I watched a little bit of some documentaries and stuff, and one thing he realized was the shows that he did that were landlocked states like Missouri, Tennessee, you know, that kind of place, those shows mm-hmm. always sold out faster than the ones that were closer to like the coasts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's what kind of clicked with him. It's like, it's about the escape. It's about getting away from, you know, the daily grind and all that stuff. And I think the only song that he had that hit number one was when he do it with Alan Jackson for 5 o'clock Somewhere.
Yeah.
Right. And that was one of the very few awards he got was for that song too.
Cause he'd kind of disappeared from mm-hmm. mainstream, you know, public yeah. eye there for a while. And Alan Jackson brought him back. So that yeah. was really cool with Alan Jackson to do that.
Yeah, it was. And that was such a fitting song to do it on, you mm-hmm. know, and I think that song came out 2001, and I, you know, that was such, you couldn't get away from that song. It didn't matter where you lived. Mm-hmm. You couldn't get away from it. And it's still a great song to listen to, but, you know, he grew up in Mississippi, you know, and he said he didn't have money to get to California. So he hippied out in New Orleans and just kind of absorbed all the culture and stuff there. Very, philanthropic person too, love, you know, giving back and things. So,
oh, but he is such a poet, you know. And people, when I say this, people, Hank Williams Sr. Mm-hmm. was a poet, man.
Yeah.
He was a poet, and he only lived what, 26 or something like that.
Yeah.
But you know, not many artists are true poets, and he is. If you can listen to his albums that aren't Christmas albums,
yeah.
and just put them on, and he is a storyteller, man.
Yeah,
he's just a storyteller, and not all artists can do that. Can tell stories like him.
No, absolutely not. Now, Christmas Island, I wasn't sure what to expect, and I listened to this several times over the past week or so.
Mm-hmm.
This is legit. For those out there that are kind of skeptical, this is a legit good Christmas album.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
It's a little different than what you would expect, but this is one of those, like you said, it's a good like summer Christmas album when you need a little Christmas, but maybe you're not ready to commit, you know, to the musical sound of Christmas, that you need something a little bit
mm.
different. But it has two original songs that he wrote on there that he had credit for, A Sailor's Christmas and Merry Christmas, Alabama, Never Far From Home. And I found this album kind of, I don't know if it's maybe because I watched so much stuff on him and things, but I kind of found this, kind of track, kind of, you know, this whole album kind of emotional, you know, and, like I said, could be just because of his passing and stuff like that, but yeah.
I gotta correct you on something. I don't know if I'm wrong or you're wrong. You said there was two albums. I mean, two songs on
there. There's two I know of that he had.
Okay, see, that's what I had read too. But I also found on the Discogs that there was another one on there, that Ho 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 and A Bottle of Rum.
Okay.
And that song, he was credited with that. But, you know, all the three songs that he wrote on there, it had other co-writers.
Yeah.
But that song, Ho, 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 and A Bottle of Rum, was a song that he would play before this album came out and, you know, live in concert promoting the album.
Yeah.
So
okay.
That made the third one, but I don't know if I'm right or, you know.
Well, I don't know. Yeah,
but I did see the discrepancy that, you know,
yeah.
there was two and then yeah. I found three.
Well, I just know Wikipedia has not given him credit for that. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't take a look at Discogs. I would, for those of the listening, I would play parts of this song. However, you know, since I'm recording on YouTube, doing a live stream, if there's any kind of copyright claim, they would immediately cancel the stream, and then I'd have to regroup and come back. So I apologize for that. The album, the songs can be found anywhere you stream music. So we're going to, but most of these songs you probably know very well, except, you know, for the originals, if, you know, in there. But, Ken, was there any song that really stood out to you?
Yeah. And just let me put this disclaimer in there. This is a good, I have to tell the truth, man, or I guess my opinion. Uh-huh. Album, it is a good one for summertime.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, it made me think, man, I need to go get some of those parrot camper lights and put on the pontoon, you know? So yeah, it was really, really had the vibe going. But, you know, there's some traditional Christmas songs that you just shouldn't, that, you know, you just shouldn't rearrange it. You just sing the song, you know. For instance, I'll talk about it when we get to them. But for that reason, there's a couple on there where he didn't arrange it. He rearranged it.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, man, I'll never listen to this song again after we talk about it. Well, there's just a couple of them like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll just run through them. There's only 10 of them. First one's Christmas Island. What'd you think of that one?
Man, I think he did a great job on that. That song was one that was by the Andrews Sisters back in the 40s. And, you know, the original one, they sang that, and they had Guy Lombardo with his orchestra. I think they were called the Royal Canadians or something.
In fact, got Guy Lombardo album right up there above my head. So
okay.
Yeah.
All right. You know, so Guy Lombardo, he put the big band spin on it. And the Andrews Sisters, of course, their vocals. And if you listen to this, his version of it, you hear the backup singers and they sound very Andrews Sisterish in the background. So I love that he still threw that nostalgic sound on there. But he had some steel drums on there, and I think the steel drums took a solo in the middle somewhere, but I think he did a great job on that song.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. You know, it was one of those, it was nice to hear it. It seemed to fit, you know, and stuff. So I didn't have any problems with it. Second song's Jingle Bells. It was fine. I'm generally not a fan of people covering Jingle Bells a lot of times, because it's been covered a lot, and a lot of times people try to do something different, and it doesn't work out. For some reason, I wasn't overly impressed with it, but it was fine.
Man, we got to disagree. We got to disagree, agree to disagree on this. We're friends, so we can disagree. Man, because, you know, it started out, you know, Jingle Bells is one of those songs. You know, you just don't mess with it. You know, just sing the song and move on. We all sing along with it. But it started out with a little B3 organ intro, I think. It kind of sounded like it was going to be a song by the, you know, a funk song, kind of like, Sly and the Family Stone or somebody
I get that.
You know? And thought it was going to go to that. And then in the middle, it had a harmonica solo that was really bluesy. And I don't know, it was just like, it was just disconnected.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I didn't like it, man. I didn't love it. That is the one. And also what he did, let me tell you, because see, on the second verse, dude, I printed this off. Let me see here. Because the second verse, he put his own words in there. And I'm like, man, you don't mess with Jingle Bells.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't mess with Jingle Bells. Listen, can I read it to you real quick? You got time?
Sure, sure.
The second verse was, a day or two ago, I thought I'd take a run to Port Antonio. I'd be cruising in the sun. The radio was loud. The chicken jerked and fried. And all I had to do that day was drive on the left side. Now, that's very poetic. And that would fit perfect on some of his songs, but not on Jingle Bells.
Man. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just my take on it. But I guess
I agree.
Everybody's different.
Usually when I say stuff is fine, that usually means I don't like it.
Yeah.
I'm one of those kind of people. It's fine.
You know, yeah. So.
But
no, I'll never listen to that version again.
Nah. But then the one of his originals, A Sailor's Christmas, I really enjoyed it. It was typical Jimmy Buffett, kind of, you know, beachy and melancholy, and you know, sounded great, sung great. You know, I don't have any complaints with it. It does feel Christmassy, as much as this album can feel Christmassy, because he doesn't, you know, just put all the layers of Christmas music on it. But A Sailor's Christmas, I really liked quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely it's a sing along. You know, that would, if you took the words Christmas out of it, it would fit on just about any one of his albums, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it is a great song. It's a good song, man, no doubt. And that's one that one of them he wrote.
Yeah, it is. And then song four, he covers Happy Christmas, War Is Over, the John Lennon song. And I'm gonna say this, Ken. As much as we kind of ragged on Jingle Bells, this may be my favorite version of this song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was fantastic.
That's true. Yep.
You know, I typically only listen to the John Lennon version of the song. I've heard other covers, and it just doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't work. So I just listen to, you know, John Lennon. But this one blew me away, and I don't know exactly what it was, but like I said, this may be my favorite version of this song.
Sure. Yeah. This is a solid version for sure, Todd.
Yeah.
I mean, they got in the middle of in the John Lennon version, is there a guitar solo in the middle? Do you remember?
Not that I recall. Not that I recall.
Well, on Jimmy's version, there was a guitar solo in there that was, I thought was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
You know, so that, yeah, I agree, man. You know, but to me, that's not the nostalgic song like Jingle Bells, man.
No, it's not. It doesn't carry all that nostalgia, but it's getting there. I don't know if it'll never cross Jingle Bells and never go that, but it's getting there. You know,
yep.
Next song, Up on the Housetop, which is a song people don't really do much anymore. I don't know if it's just because it's too short or whatever, but it was kind of, to me, it was just, if you think of Jimmy Buffett singing the song, is exactly what you got.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. This is another one of those. You don't mess with that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just sing Up on the Housetop. There's really no way to better it. It just is what it is.
And, yeah.
Let's see what, I don't know, man. I think I made this song was disconnected too. And there were some solos in there, like guitar solos.
Uh-huh.
At one point when it started out, I think it kind of sounded like a Beach Boy kind of surfing guitar licks at the very first. And then in the middle, it sounded like the theme music to the original Batman show. Batman used to come up.
Yeah.
Just for a few beats there. And I'm like, that just don't go with Up on the Housetop. It was it's like it was forced. It felt forced to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Then, Mel, I always say this wrong. I got to sing it to say it right. I just can't talk it, but Mele Kalikimaka Maka is Hawaii.
Mele Kalikimaka.
There you go. Yeah. This, to me, was Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bo. This was Mike Tyson in 88. This was, you know, Babe Ruth, you know, calling a shot. This is, you know, the 72 Dolphins, you know, this was, you know, a baseball sit on a tee with, you know, Albert Pujols coming up to take a swing. And it was just like, it was just ready made. He had to do it, and he did it, and he did it very, very well.
You know? He sure did, man.
Yeah.
You know, the nostalgic, you know, the old stuff is what I like. And he had, once again, he had the backup singers sound like the Andrews Sisters in there singing backup, and had some clarinet solo in there and playing throughout. And he did a good job on that. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, a guy like Jimmy Buffett does a song like this that is just tailor made for him. And to his credit, he didn't try, you know, to do something different. You know, I think a lot of people would take a, you know, ready made cover for them and try to get cute. and he didn't, and he absolutely hit it out of the park.
That was a good one.
It was. Run Rudolph Run is next. It's kind of the same as Up on the Housetop to me, as far as, you know, the quality of it. Just it was just you know, a nice cover in Jimmy Buffett style.
So. Yeah, it had it was kind of the boogie woogie, blues style in there. You know, piano work and guitar, just really kind of hopping blues kind of stuff. You know, so it was good.
It was good. I was kind of hoping maybe you'd hear some of his New Orleans jazz roots come out a little bit somewhere. Maybe it did. I just didn't get good enough listens to it or anything. But
yeah, but nobody's ever going to play that like Chuck Berry did.
No,
that's kind of like that. Kind of like a Jingle Bell Rock by, what was his name?
Bobby Helms.
Bobby Helms. Yeah. And, you know, there's people cover that, but it's not the same.
Yeah. There's only one person or one group that's come close to Run Rudolph Run that's come close to Chuck Berry. And you may laugh at me, but it's true.
Smash Mouth.
No. Close, though. Yeah. No. Dr. Teeth. And Electric Mayhem, the Muppets band, their version of Run Rudolph Run is fantastic. I'll send you a link to it when we get off here. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I've listened to that.
It is great. It's this great Rhodes keyboard in there. It's real kind of, I want to say like Ray Charles ish kind of rock and roll. Yeah, it's cool. So
okay, but, well, isn't that?
Yeah, I'll send you the link right later tonight then. Song 8, Ho 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 and a Bottle of Rum. This is another original. Yep. Again, this is basically Christmas Margaritaville. song.
You know, this is a good song, and like I said earlier, this is the one that he played in his live shows before this album came out to promote Christmas Island.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is one of these you'd have to listen to on a boat someplace, because if you have a house full of guests and you want Christmas music, you don't want to hear this.
Yeah.
I don't think. I'll just tell you, man. I mean, it's a good song. Don't get me wrong. It's Jimmy Buffett. Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to read you the, once again, I'm on about the lyrics too, Christmas music. But it starts out, Santa's kind of, this is the first little bit of it. It says, Santa's stressed out as the holiday season draws near. He's been doing the same job now going on 2,000 years. He's got pains in his brain and chimney scars over his buns. He hates to admit, but Xmas is more work than fun. And then it just goes on, it's like, man, it's supposed to be holly and jolly. And
yeah.
You know, Christmas is not supposed to be work, and we all know that. Yeah, some things on Christmas is work.
Yeah,
we know some guys that put up a whole bunch of Christmas trees in their house, and I think they're probably listening tonight.
Yeah,
and that's work, But you don't write a darn song about the work part of it. You know, you write a song about how you love the trees and you're looking at them, and how beautiful they are, that kind of thing. But that's just me.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's Straight No Chaser has a song about basically just like surviving the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, don't even bother. Let's enjoy it. But I will have to interject this, that Ben from Pepper Tree Villa says, I'm not wrong about Dr. Teeth and Electric Mayhem having the great version of Run Rudolph Run. In fact, he says his favorite version of Santa Baby was sung by Miss Piggy. So,
Miss Piggy.
I'll have to check that one out.
Yeah, me too, Ben.
Next to last song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. I found this wonderfully sweet and sentimental. Again, he didn't do anything that didn't seem like it fit this song at all. He just performed it in with his style, with his flair. It's probably a little slower in tempo than, not that it's a fast song, it's a slower song, but I think he slowed it down even a little bit more. But I found this as a very sweet version. Had a lot of sentiment to it, and the way he delivered it, and really enjoyed it.
this song definitely showcased his voice a little more than like a Margaritaville or one of those songs, you know, showcased his voice a little more. And it had a, let's see, it had to, if I remember right, it had some clarinet and saxophone, you know, going on during the song. And it was really nice, man.
Yeah. Yeah. He had a lot of use of horns in this whole album. And I always like good horn section anyway. But yeah, I found this, you know, just kind of, you know, it would fit in there with, you know, Frank Sinatra and Michael Bublé's version. It fit right in that pocket very well, and really sentimental. And then another one, he ends it with one he has writing credit for, Merry Christmas, Alabama, Never Far From Home. And this might be one of my favorites from the album. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I've said the word sentimental a bunch tonight, but there was a lot, I don't know, something in his vocal delivery was really longing in this song. It just seems, I don't know why he wrote it or who he wrote it to, but for some reason, this song felt like it really connected with him the way he delivered it. Or maybe he's just that great of a singer that he can make you think that even if it doesn't. But I really liked this song quite a bit.
Yeah, me too, Todd.
Yeah.
I liked this one. It was, this song is, you know, it had marimbas in there, you know, so it gave it a Christmas flair. Mm-hmm. But it's not a country song.
No.
It's cross between folk and country. But this is probably my favorite song on here, too. I mean, there's Jingle Bells and Up on the Housetop and Bay Lake Leaky Maca and all those. I mean, you can't put a price tag on those as far as being your favorites. But this is probably my favorite one that he wrote. Mm-hmm. Off of this album. And I don't know if you've ever heard Christmas and Dixie by Alabama.
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard their album that was on, but I'm sure this song right here would have, you could have just slid it right in there.
Yeah.
And they could have sang this song and it would have fit in with just everything they do. It was really good, you know, really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. This song really blew me away. Like I said, from all the others, this one really, for some reason, it just really resonated with me. I'd like to hear it. There's one thing about listening to an album straight through, and that's why I heard all these songs, was one right after another over and over. I never did pick songs out to listen to individually, but this is one that is definitely going to get, even at Christmas time, will probably get a little bit more play from me. And then if you hold off about 3 minutes after the last song, Jimmy reads A Visit from St. Nicholas, Twas Night Before Christmas. He reads it. There's some nice soft background music. But it is a sweet way to end the album. The total runtime of the full album's only is just right at 42 minutes. So it's not a long album at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's, like you said, it's a solid, like, off Christmas season album to listen to. If you like need just a taste of Christmas, but maybe are a little bit apprehensive that somebody's going to be like, oh, you're listening to Christmas music right now. It's kind of one of those like low key, turn it on and get a little Christmas without,
right,
you know, in secret kind of thing. So,
but the only thing I don't like is that they didn't put it out in vinyl. It was during the 90s when all the CD era, you know, and,
yeah,
come out on CD. I'd give anything if it was on vinyl, because I would certainly go buy it.
Yeah, if it was on vinyl, I would definitely buy it. But since it's just available on CD, I'll just stick with streaming it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his second album, Christmas album, that came out, I think, 2016, is available on vinyl. So we might have to touch on that one sometime later, Ken. But if you were to give this album a letter grade, you know, A, B, C, D, EF, and you can do plus and minus, plus or minuses. If you would have to give it a letter grade, what do you think you would give it?
I'd give it a B.
Yeah. I'd say that's fair. B. Yeah.
It has a lot of depth. You know, he still uses his songwriting ability. He tells stories in there.
Mm-hmm.
If he just hadn't, to me, he would have gotten a B+ if he hadn't rearranged some of the traditional classics.
Yeah.
That's part for me that made it go from a B+ to a B.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree with that. I would say it's a B, but it's just a hair's way from being a B+, you know, and if he would have kind of not rearranged some of the classics and maybe threw some more Christmas sounds in there, could have been in the A category, A minus or A, but that's not Jimmy Buffett, you know, that's right. That would be going against everything that he is as an artist. And I don't want that, you know? So I would say it's a solid B. It's definitely worth one to save, you know, on whatever music streaming service you like to use. It's definitely one to save or to earmark to give it a listen, you know, here and there. I would not discourage anybody from not taking a listen. It's definitely better than some of the more recent Christmas albums we've had offerings from people, but I went in with lower expectations. I was kind of expecting a flop of an album, and I got much, you know, it exceeded that immensely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's a solid B mm-hmm. on there. And I think that would be a good one. To listen to during the summer, you know, yep. when you don't want to break out the Bar Lives and whatever, mm-hmm. but also probably like in February when things are just really cold and nasty yeah. out, I think that might be a good one to warm up to a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, I will admit to this. Like I said, I was never a big Jimmy Buffett fan. Although mm-hmm. February, about that time of year, I do start playing Margaritaville a little bit more because I'm kind of ready for a little warmth in the weather, you know, and I've kind of start longing for the beach. We are beach people. And so that's kind of the time of year I will, you know, actually play some Jimmy Buffett. Well, I say that it was always just Margaritaville, but after listening to Come Monday and some other songs, it'll be more than that, you know? So,
yeah. Oh man. And Jimmy Buffett, I mean, I've already said he's a poet. And it's incredible. I mean, just listen to some of his albums, like Son of a Sailor, and just listen to that when you have time to listen.
Yeah.
Listen to it, and you're like, man, what good songs that people have never even heard. I mean, they've heard it, but, I mean, they're not mainstream, and they'll never get played on the air anywhere. But every song is good.
Yeah.
I've never heard a bad song by him.
Yeah.
Maybe for Jingle Bells.
I hear you. Well, for those out there, if there is a Christmas album by, you know, someone that's pretty well known, that but their Christmas album's not that well known, you know, it's like, oh, they did release a Christmas album. If there's one out there that's near and dear to your heart, or one that's you think we should know about, you know, let me know in the comments or send me a message on Facebook or Instagram or email at todd@christmasclutter.com. Cause I'd like to know. It'd be interesting to cover, because there were a few bands out there, a few singers out there was like, oh, I didn't even realize they had a Christmas album, you know? Cause I'm studying up for a episode I got with Scott Newman coming up. So I'm having to figure out who doesn't have Christmas albums right now that I want to. So if there's one out there that is under the radar, no one really knows about, let me know. Yeah, I'd love to hear it. But speaking of playlists and streaming music, let's get to our entries for the Essential Christmas Playlist. And we'll get Ken's live reaction. Ken was one of the people that kind of helped me take some advice from this list.
I don't know. Smash Mouth's not on there, is it?
Well, you'll have to wait to find out. I'm not giving any secrets away. But this is week 4. I was looking at the playlist. I think after I added these songs on it earlier, I think it's like up over 2 hours long of a playlist already. This is just week 4. So we're only like a third of the way through. you know. So it's going to be a big one. But I think what there's 9 songs this week we're adding, and they are "Do They Know It's Christmas" by Band-Aid, "What Are You Doing New Year's Eve" by Ella Fitzgerald, and the version also by Ingrid Mikkelsen, "Grown Up Christmas Lifts" by Amy Grant and Pentatonix featuring Kelly Clarkson, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day," Johnny Cash and his version, along with Britt Eldridge, "Run Rudolph Run," Chuck Berry, mm-hmm. "White Christmas," Bing Crosby, and also The Drifters, "Merry Christmas, Darling" by The Carpenters, "Merry Christmas, Everybody" by Slade, and George Strait's "Christmas Cookies." So that's the entries for this week. Anything stand out to you there, Ken?
Yeah. My age, probably, more than anything, dude. Who's Band-Aid?
Band-Aid's that charity in 84. All the guys in England got together to raise money for Ethiopia. It was Bono and Boy George and all those guys.
Yeah, so, okay. I got you. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Well, we already talked about Run, Rudolph, Run by Chuck Berry.
Yeah.
You know, that's up there. Kelly Clarkson. Clarkson, she can sing her booty off.
Yeah.
No matter what she's saying.
Yeah, she can. I know, you know, White Christmas, Bing Crosby and the Drifters.
Yeah, that's a gimme.
Yeah.
How about the Carpenters?
Yep. Merry Christmas, Darling.
Buddy, that's a mainstay right there.
In fact, up over my shoulder, I have the Carpenters Christmas album, which is one of my favorite albums from beginning to end. And I think the one on here that might not be as well known is Christmas Cookies by George Strait. That's just a fun song. It's just a fun, it embodies a part of Christmas that, you know, that needs to be covered by songs. I know there's other versions of Christmas Cookies, but George Strait's is the best. I know that's shocking that his version's the best.
You know? Is it real country?
I would say it's real George Strait. I mean, it's a song about George Strait singing a song about his wife making Christmas cookies and then him kind of like being in the kitchen and grabbing them as they're coming out of the oven and and then, you know, kind of getting a little frisky with his wife in between batches and stuff. And it's just a fun song. It's been,
well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's just been one and regularly played around our house for a long time.
Okay. Well, George Strait, but he can sing anything. If anybody's out there wants to know what true country sounds like, country music, don't listen to the new stuff. Go to George Strait.
Yeah.
And just listen to all his stuff that are hits, man. He has so many hits. And, you know, he's the opposite of Jimmy Buffett as far as that goes. Jimmy Buffett's created a lifestyle and a branding.
Yeah.
And George Strait, he just gets up there and stands in one spot, cool and calm, and sings, and it works for him. That's his style.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, I've forgotten. It's like 40 number one hits he's had through his career.
I don't know, man, but dude can sing like nobody's business.
Yeah,
but tell me about Slade.
Slade is a group from over in the UK. And this song was a Christmas number one, Merry Christmas, Everybody. You would know it if you heard it.
Okay.
And over there, this song's wildly more popular than here in the States, but I had to include it. Because of that, you know, popularity around the world. And I think it was 1973, when it was Christmas number one. And it's just kind of one of those songs that's in the, zeitgeist, the right word. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's just ingrained into the UK Christmas, you know? And, like I said, if you heard it, I'm sure you would recognize it, you know.
Okay.
Because it does get played every once in a while over here in the States, but it's just, it just never was as big as it was, you know, overseas and stuff.
Well, so, what is your favorites off that list? Those right there.
My favorite off this list, I love the Ingrid Mikkelsen's version of What Are You Doing New Year's Eve? And I also love the Johnny Cash, Have You Heard the Bells on Christmas Day?
Yes.
Both are very sad songs in very different ways, you know.
Right.
So, one I guess is kind of hopeful. But I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day is that song. It was written in around the Civil War, and
really, is that old?
Yeah, and you know, it's about a man's wife passes away, and he's dealing with the grief, you know. And it's like the bells on Christmas Day is like kind of like the thing that encourages him at the end, you know, that all's not lost. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a very, very sad song, very moving song.
Okay.
Powerful song.
I'm going to give that a listen.
Yeah. Johnny Cash, of course, he's great at that delivery. Brett Eldridge is a wonderful singer too. And his Christmas stuff is fantastic. He's got a couple Christmas albums that are on vinyl that I recommend you getting. Like, if you can find it, Glow. If you can find Brett Eldridge's Glow on vinyl, mm-hmm. you need to grab it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I think he's came out. Doesn't he have like two? He has two Christmas albums.
Yeah, I think he came out with a Mr. Christmas a few years back. That's really good too. Mm. So, and then he also, it seems like that he's I only see him on TV when it's Christmas time. You know, it's like it's like the CMT Christmas special, you know, hosted by so and so, featuring, you know, Brett Eldridge. You know, so definitely a solid list here from start to finish, and hopefully every week when I release more and more songs, people continue to think so. And because it was
it was
a lot of fun putting it together. And it's been hard because I'm so excited for the list that I just want to release the whole thing, but that wouldn't
work.
You know, a lot of the songs, there's so many songs they'd get buried on there. Mm-hmm. But Ken, I appreciate you, man, joining me for this episode to talk a little bit Jimmy Buffett and Christmas Island. Let everybody know where they can find you in the North Pole News Dispatch and all that.
Okay, yeah, you can find my podcast, the North Pole News Dispatch, and it's a fictional podcast about a radio station in North Pole. You can find that anywhere you listen to podcasts, and Facebook and Instagram. And that's it. That's all we got.
All right. Yeah. I'll have all the links to Ken and all the stuff he's doing in the show notes and in the description and all that. And guys, thank you so much for joining me here on Christmas Clatter. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you for taking the time. We're getting closer to Christmas, already in the burr months. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with another episode. For those hanging out in the chat here on YouTube as we record this, guys, stay put. We'll talk some more. And if you're able to join us on YouTube, please do. I would greatly appreciate it. We have a talkative chat, very friendly. They, you know, Ben's busting my chops about Amy Grant right now in the chat and really enjoy it. But, I understand time zones and things aren't working out, and, I will be doing a stream here in a few weeks that is more European time zone friendly. And I can't wait for that. I got to email Jack back. Make sure I haven't. Jack, if you hear this before I email you back, I haven't forgot you, sir. Just gotten busy. But we'll be doing that. And so it'd be a little early here in the States. I imagine it'd be like 3 o'clock Central Time, you know. Maybe even 2 o'clock, something like that. You know, so it'd be early here in the States, but I really feel like I need to try to do that a little, not all the time, but a little bit more often. I do have a lot of a lot of people that want to listen and be a part. And I understand. But guys, again, thank you. And until next time, remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.